This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holmein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And we're very pleased to welcome Rich Goldberg. Richard Goldberg is fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and extremely well informed about the JCPOA reawakening by the Biden administration and by the Europeans, particularly Berlin, Paris, and London. However, the talks are underway and it's unclear. We are dealing with the fog of diplomacy. We do have some statements, however, by principal observers. Rich, a very good evening to you. I want to read a statement by the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Bennett, on a phone call, we're told, with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. Quote, Iran is engaged in nuclear blackmail as a negotiating tactic. This must lead to an immediate suspension of the talks in Vienna and to harsh retaliation steps by the world powers. In response, a long phone call, but we have this quote from the Secretary of State that the U.S. will know in a day or two. I'll leave it there. We'll know in a day or two. How do you measure the talks with these clues looking in from the outside? Good evening to you, Rich.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me back. I think we need to take a very pessimistic view of the talks, which I think was predictable heading into Vienna in this round. The Iranians are obviously feeling very emboldened. Their economy is stabilizing. They're getting access to revenues since sanctions have stopped being enforced or in some cases relieved during the year. They came off of the quarterly board meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency last week with world powers not censuring them despite all of their nuclear aggressions through the year. And in addition to that, their non-cooperation with the agency and to investigations about undeclared nuclear activities inside the country. So they came in feeling very bullish, very strong, making maximalist demands of their own. They're no longer, I think, looking to just go back to JCPOA, where they may have gone a year or two ago. They now see an opportunity to reset the table for themselves with the JCPOA being the high watermark of concessions, where they now negotiate down what they're willing to do on their nuclear program, continue to advance it through talks, and still negotiate to get sanctions relief in return.
Malcolm?
We know they already started the cascade, began feeding the cascade of 166 advanced IR6 centrifuges. So, and they're saying that they're 20%, getting up to 60%. How do you think that these revelations will influence both where Congress stands, but also the administration in regard to the negotiations?
Well, first of all, let me just say that Iran's decision to escalate its nuclear program during the talks should have had an immediate response from the United States and our European allies in the three countries you mentioned at the top, to break off the talks and go back to the IAEA, pass an emergency censure resolution, and look to snap back sanctions to the United Nations Security Council. The fact that we are sitting there as if nothing just happened at Fordo yesterday, and we're just going to keep talking to the Iranians and keep giving them anything they want, is just such a projection of weakness to Tehran that, of course, they're simply going to escalate further, and these talks will not go anywhere. I think we have to be at a point where the regime, if I'm the supreme leader, is wondering, is there any point at which the United States is willing to use pressure? Is there any point at which there is a true military red line for the West in our nuclear program? It was really unimaginable just a few months ago that Iran would ever escalate to 60% enriched uranium as a purity level. It's such a stone's throw away from 90% weapons grade. The fact they're even now threatening and rumoring the possibility of going to 90%, the fact that they're now enriching to 20%, not just at the original plant of Fordo, that they're now deciding, in addition to Natanz, now at Fordo, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And again, no response, no threat of military force from the United States, no reaction in the sanctions realm, no reaction of the IAEA. This has to cause some concerns of whether or not there is any deterrence for Iran going forward.
The participation of the Europeans, Berlin, Paris, and London, do you discern that they've changed their, what you'd have to say, medium position, moderate position? Have they come to understand Tehran in a better fashion after these statements?
I have no evidence of such to date. Remember, our European allies started what was called a dispute resolution mechanism process under the JCPOA in January of 2020. And that was in response largely to Iran reopening the Fordo facility, the one that is buried deep underground, and starting low-enriched uranium in that facility. That had been a red line declared in private and diplomatic conversations by the Europeans to the United States that if Iran reopened Fordo, they would go to the Security Council and snap back UN sanctions, take away all those sunsets that are enshrined in the Security Council resolution. They did not do that. The minute they believed that there could be a change in power in the United States, they held back and stalled. And they have now gone this entire year not moving that process forward, despite going to 20% enriched uranium and then to 60% the production of uranium metal, all the noncompliance and non-cooperation with the IAEA. So one has to ask, what is going to be the red line? What is it going to take to have Europe, have the United States understand that we need to snap back at the Security Council finally, push reset ourselves, and start negotiating from a position of strength with Iran, not a position of weakness?
Malcolm?
We know that Iran has continued its nefarious activities, Iraq, Syria, even worse in some places, and the Houthis. How has any of this changed in the lead up? Have you seen anything? And whether we can anticipate with the outcome of Vienna, will they escalate these activities? Do you think that we could take action? Are you suggesting any course of action for Congress about how what measures and sanctions we can impose at this point?
Well, first of all, the Biden administration has the power to enforce its sanctions. It has not done so through the year. So if there is a bipartisan push, it should be on the administration to actually enforce sanctions, crack down on Chinese imports of Iranian oil, petrochemical sales, look at other areas of Iran's economy where they have been opened up, stop issuing a waiver to allow Iran access to its frozen funds to repay foreign debts. But also, I think we have to start thinking about what is our bottom line as the United States. Are we going to allow Iran not just to break out to a nuclear weapon, but to walk out to a nuclear weapon? We need to have a clear statement from the President of the United States and from the Congress that we do have a bottom line, that we are willing to use military force. We don't want to. It's not our preferred solution, but we have a credible military threat. If we don't have that, negotiate the JCPOA or don't, Iran is going to feel very free to advance their nuclear program, as we've seen them do. And you mentioned Iraq and Syria, Yemen with the Houthis. We have seen throughout the year Iran continue to escalate these attacks with no response, little to no response from the Biden administration. We just saw a couple weeks ago a coordinated UAV drone strike against U.S. troops in Syria. There's no known military response to that strike to date. There was no military strike against any IRGC official to any of the attacks throughout the year against U.S. forces in Iraq or in Syria. And of course, we know that our Saudi allies continue to come under missile threat every day from the Hezbollah and IRGC-trained Houthi forces in Yemen.
The other two participants, Moscow and Beijing, certainly they have an ambition here. What is it? Do they watch Iran break down these talks and they're good and they're happy about it?
Well, I think they like the position the United States is in right now. Very vulnerable, being threatened by the Iranian regime, not sure what to do, squeezed. And remember, they have great interest, economic and strategic interest, in maintaining the framework of the JCPOA and, more importantly, the Security Council resolution, because the arms embargo lifted last October. They have interest in selling arms. Missile restrictions are set to expire in 2023. They have interest in selling missile parts. And they have a vested interest in seeing U.S. sanctions relief, because then China's 25-year deal with Iran for infrastructure and arms gets to move forward free of U.S. sanctions. They get to add Iran to their Belt and Road Initiative stops, and the Russians get to increase their sales of nuclear power plants and other supplies to the regime. So they have a vested interest in just seeing a squirm, but also in making money off this regime.
Richard Goldberg is a senior advisor at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Malcolm Hohenlein Conference of Presidents. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.